بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Sometimes great faith lessons are given by people that apparently seem to be very insignificant and uneducated. One simple villager, he says, okay, in this world there's just one of two ways that you can lead. Either you accept the ghulami and the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you aren't prepared to accept the slavery of Allah ta'ala, then you will then have to slave for everybody, sometimes for your business, sometimes for your profession, sometimes for your name and reputation, sometimes for your wife, sometimes for your children, and sometimes for your luxuries. So either of the two you will have to enslave yourself for. When you say you enslave yourself, what do you mean? In other words, you will give in to the demands of that particular thing. It's a habit, for example, habit of smoking, so you give in to the demand. It's a habit of luxuries, and you give in to the demand. So you have become enslaved to that. So this is the khulasa, and this is the very essence of this world. Either accept the slavery of Allah Ta'ala, and if you aren't prepared to accept the slavery of Allah Ta'ala, then prepare yourself to become the slave of anything and everything. The Shah, in the time of the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there was a bidati cult, like we find bidatis in this day as well. Then this bidati culture isn't something that is new. It was, and this type of culture will continue. Wherever there is the truth and there is haqq, then there must be the opposition, there must be the falsehood that goes with it. There isn't a period in time where there is only haqq and there is no falsehood. If there is the haqq, then there is the falsehood that goes with it. Within your own self, if there is the force of good and there is the urge, the inclination to do good, then there is the force of evil as well. So in the entire universe, this system prevails. If there is the truth, then there is the falsehood. And this is why Allah Ta'ala has created you, after all, that you take that initiative, you go through that struggle, you go through that pain and difficulty, and do that. It is the time of namaz, and you are in a deep sleep, and you just get up. Now leave and give up all that warm blankets, and get up. So where there is the truth, then there is the falsehood. Where there is that ease, there is the difficulty as well. Now this is the system of the world. This world doesn't only have ease, it has difficulties as well. There isn't only friends, but there are foes and enemies as well. There isn't only the truth, but there is the falsehood as well. But within all this, you need to get up and go on, hold on firmly to the truth and continue. So this is what the whole life is after. This is what the whole life is about. That you take that initiative, you take the courage and move on. If there is a person like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then there is a person like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. If there is a person that is strong as Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, then there is the similar person that is strong on the other side as well. So this opposition and this conflict can continue. In this time, If there is that group that is fighting and struggling for the truth, then there is the group that is on falsehood as well. So this must continue, the struggle and this confrontation must continue. The malaika, then they are the shaitan. There is that iblis. So if you want that there must be only malaika in this world, then you are in the wrong planet. That planet, it is Jannat, where there is only malaika, there is only good, there is no evil, there is no temptation of wrong, then that's in the planet of Jannat. Here, you have come into this planet, so you must get a mixture of the both. So, there was a culture, and that culture was known as Char Abru Ka Safaya. That was the culture. Any person that affiliated himself to this group, then he needed to shave off all the hair of his head. Be it of the head, be it of the eyebrow, be it of the moustache, and be it of the beard. So, charo abruo ka safaya. All the hair of the head must be completely bald. Whether it's the beard, whether it's the moustache, whether it is the eyebrow, whether it is the hair of the head, all that hair must be completely clean. Now too, you get some type of groups, they want to go and shave the hair, and they do some strange things, weird things. So you will get this type of cultures, and you will get this type of people in all periods of human history, you will get it. Anyway, the head of this group was known as Gulzar. Gulzar refers to a garden or an orchard, right? So any person that joins up with this group, then he has a name that is got something to do with an orchard or something to do with a garden. One person had just joined the army, nice, strong, well-built, and he had joined the army, and he was taking a stroll in the morning. So as he walked past, he saw some tents and some people camped there, olden days. Anyway, a voice came out from the tent that, who's that? It says, Naseem. This soldier that was going past says that, I'm Naseem. So the voice from within says, Pir tum to gulzar se bahar nahi nikal sakte. Then you can't get out of the orchard. And saying this, there was such an effect on this person's heart, okay, he got captured. He couldn't break away. He got captured. This man only had to say, Tum to phir gulzar se bahar nahi nikal sakte. You can't get out of the orchard. He got entrapped. There was such a strong pull, magnetic attraction to his heart that he couldn't get loose, he couldn't break. And he comes up and he says, all right, then accept me for bayat. A young person at the peak of his age, and he's in the money, he's earning good wealth, and then he gives up everything, one single tasarruf. This person has to make one single tasarruf, some type of mesmerism, and then this person is mesmerized for life. This morning we are talking about association, and the hadith speaks about the time of fitna and what is to be done at the time of fitna. I went on to explain where the Buzurgan Adin say qillat ikhtilat, and this perhaps they get from the hadith which says wal yasa'ka baytuk, stay within your house, don't talk to people. The moment you get out and there is that fitna that's waiting to trap you. You don't know where it is coming from. From which end it is coming, you don't know. It's coming from some end or the other. The fitna is there to trap you. Yesterday, that Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib was here for Sehri and Iftar. So I asked him, how many years are you in a madrasa environment, in an academic environment? How long are you now? So he says, approximately 40 years. 40 years in an academic environment, like myself. From 71, I'm in Myaswan, and now it's over the 40th year. So I asked him, all right, what do you find in the students of this age compared to when you had gone to madrasa, say 71, is there something that is short, something that is missing, something that is missing out there? Then he thought for a moment, he says, yeah, I think there is something that is not right, something that is missing. So what is missing? So he says, what I find that is being that is not there now is the concern for tarbiyat, to rectify yourself, correct yourself, to bring about the ways of Rasulullah Pak Sallam, the ways of a Muslim, the ways of the Sunnah, to bring that concern, that worry, and that type of dedication, that type of fikr is no longer there. Then I asked him, what is the possible reason for all this? He is an independent person. I'm not prompting him to say anything, but I'm asking him for my own understanding. We're also in the madrasa, he's also in madrasa. And then he asked me, all right, you're asking about South Africa or you're talking about India? I said, no, I want to ask general. Don't want to say about South Africa, general. I want to know, what's the problem? What's the problem? You say that tarbiyat. So what's the cause of this problem? He says, there could be other causes, but presently I feel the main cause is the cell phone. Now the strange thing on the soul cell phone is that everything about the cell phone talks about a jail. Cell, net. So all these things talk about imprisonment, right? So what it is telling you, that once you get connected, then you are in a cell. You are already netted. Then you can't get out of it. Man is sitting calmly, peacefully, and there must be just a small ring. And see, he just gets up, jumps up. See, that cell gets him. He's in the cell, in prison. Whether he is in the masjid, whether he is in a dawat, whether he is at home, whether he is wherever, but he is caught that cell mentality now. Whether he's an aged person or a young person, but he's got a cell mentality now. So whatever the cell will say and whatever it will offer, he is going to buy it, whatever he's going to offer. He won't even realize that he's buying these things here, and he's getting into a culture, and he's getting into a net, he's getting into a cell. He doesn't even realize that he's getting into it, but he's in it, and he doesn't realize that he's got trapped into it, and he can't come out of it. Now you see, you tell a person who's got into this, same to reverse and get out of it, but I can't manage it. See, sometimes the dial tone is not right, sometimes the message is not right, sometimes what it's got to offer is not right. I like to know that if anybody has got a phone, was there a time where he could say that I was totally free of ghibat? Someone's gossip, someone's ghibat is coming across. Right? Is it coming or not coming? It's coming. And you're going to read it. So you're also a silent partner. You're also a passive partner. Maybe you're not active partner, but you are the silent partner, the passive partner into this whole thing. So somehow or the other you get caught into this. So like this Mewati, this villager had said, either you accept the slavery of Allah Ta'ala, or then you get enslaved by anything and everything. Either you are accepting the slavery of Allah Ta'ala, or accept the slavery of anything and everything. Now you get enslaved to a phone. Right? If someone has to have it, then just the basic thing, just to receive a message or an SMS, nothing else. I feel even that is not free of danger, but then this is the least one can do. To save your iman, then this is the least that you can do. Everything else deleted, whether it's an internet facility, whether it is blackberry, blueberry, redberry, whatever berry, but remove all that. That's the safest. People will argue, no, hey, I need to be knowing what's going on, right? Just have that SMS and have the phone, must have that feature. So people will tease you, hey, that is outdated now. And every child has got something that's better than you. So forget their criticisms and forget whatever else. You're not a slave to it. That thing must be your slave. You aren't a slave to it. Whether people look down upon you, whether they criticize you, whether they ridicule you, it's all right. But why are you doing this? You are doing it that you may not be enslaved. You may remain a loyal slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may not be enslaved to this thing yet. Your slavery with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be correct. And he says me, Murad tells me, that the students, many of them, they come up with very, very strange ways, unique ways, talking about India. Perhaps the same thing may be here as well. He says, for some time I thought, when I'm teaching in the class, so I thought the students nowadays, they are paying a lot of attention. You know, they are serious, they're looking, and they're looking with a lot of interest. They're paying a lot of attention. So then, when I saw this attentive mode of this, so it got me a little bit curious. I went and discussed it with one of the ustad, whatever. I said, no, they're not paying attention. They're paying attention to something else. They got something on their lap, and they're watching that, and they got their rumal, their scarves over their heads. So everything is connected to the ears. You can't see what is connected, and they're watching this. Now the class is carrying on. Someone is teaching hadith, someone is teaching whatever else, but this thing is also carrying on. You know, once I was in Jalalabad, I think Azaji wasn't feeling well, so we went to go and pay him a visit. So Mona Suleiman Ganchi, who was in Zakaria Madrasa, he was studying in Jalalabad at the time. He was married, had his children and whatever else. So he invited us. So I asked him, you don't have any cold water. You've got a fridge here, but you don't have any cold water. He said, no, I don't have any cold water. Why? For the sake of my child. For his health, we are not drinking any cold water. So what I'm getting at is, for the sake of your own children, innocent children, that are vulnerable, sometimes you will have to leave some of the comforts. Maybe Allah Ta'ala has guarded you, right? Allah Ta'ala has protected you from these type of evils. But you've got it, then the children feel that, well, you've got it, why can't I have it? If Abba got it, Ma has got it, then why can't I have it? And then the child doesn't know his limits. You may know your limits, but does he know his limits? He doesn't know his limits. And then he will experiment one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. And then when he's involved deep into that wrong, for him to reverse, for him to come out of the wrong becomes very, very difficult. Yeah. See, so this wrong and this sin has got a culture of its own. Once it gets you into that net, then it won't break. You won't break off that net. You can't break off. You'll be caught. You'll be wrapped. And you'll be progressing in that same thing. You'll be progressing all the time. And you will feel to yourself that, no, I'm a literate, computer literate, cell phone literate, and you'll feel proud about yourself. To say that I'm illiterate, you feel no backwards. No, I must be literate. But this is you are being literate in what? In ignorance. You are getting literate in what? In jahalat, in righteousness, in virtue, or in the wrong. So anyway, we were talking about this Gulzar and Naseem. Anyway, this Gulzar and Naseem, Gulzar died. And then Naseem was appointed his successor. So this Naseem once came up to the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, and he says to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, that is the muhaddis of the time, great muhaddis, the whole world goes to him for hadith. So you can imagine what a caliber of a person he must have been, that the whole world at that time refers to him for hadith. So they come, this Gulzar comes, this Naseem comes up to Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, and he tells him, kab tak is qaid mein? You are in this chains, this bonds. How long will you remain in these bonds? When will you break up from these bonds? You're always continuously in these bonds of Sharia. Now read namaz. And now make wuzu. And now make ghusl. And now leave this. Now do this. Don't do this. Watch this. Don't watch this. Read this. Don't read this. Have this. Don't have this. Look at this and don't look at this. Speak about this, don't speak about this. Listen to this and don't listen to this. entertain this type of thoughts in your mind and don't entertain this type of thoughts in your mind. You may take a step here, don't take a step here. You may use your hand in this way, don't use your hand in that way. So all the time you are in chains, your hand is chained, your eyes are chained, your tongue is chained, your nose is, your ears are chained, your heart is chained, your feet are chained, your hands are chained. So the whole body is in chains. So until when will you remain in this chain of the Sharia? So Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi remained silent, heard him out, and thereafter asked him, Naseem, I want to know something from you. What's your age? He said, about 60 years. All right, you're 60. So I want to know about your past. How did you start off and you landed up as Naseem and you landed up as the successor of Gulzar? So I want to know your history. I want to know your Abbeti. People say Abbeti. Not Abbeti. Beti is your daughter. And Abbeti means your biography. Not Abbeti. Abbeti. I want to know your biography. Tell me something about your biography. He says, no, when I was about 4 or 5 years of age, then I was admitted into the creche. Then I was about 6, then I was admitted into school. Then when I was 7, 8, then I learned some madrasa as well, some Farsi, some Persian. That was the official language in India at the time. And then when I was about 10, 12, 13, then I went into college. And then after that, went to high school, all that, everything was over. Then I thought that I will admit myself, I will get into the Indian Army at that time. I got into the army. I proved myself, and from one level to the other level, I was promoted. I was a high-ranking official. And then after that, what happened? And then I was taking a stroll, and this is how I heard that voice. And then I was captured by that voice, and I became murid. And then after that, I became the successor of this person here. So now, Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi heard the whole history. He said, now, Naseem Sahib, now you sit down. Sit down, let me explain you one thing. He says, when you were conceived by your mother, right, you were within the bonds of your mother's stomach. You couldn't move, chained up. You couldn't go take a stroll now. You sit in your mother's stomach now. Couldn't go take a stroll, take a walk, have a coke, add life, and all. You couldn't do all these things here. Right? Then your mother delivered you, then too you couldn't take a walk, go to the park, go to the merry-go-round, or go to the malls and all that. You couldn't. You were strapped up, you were bonded, you were tied up to the bed. And when you were tied up, you couldn't make a move to the right, nor to the left. The only thing you knew at that time to cry. You were strapped up to the bed, you can't move. Right. Then you were admitted to the creche, right? As you grew up, you were admitted to the creche. And in the creche, it may be that someday you didn't know your sabak or whatever else, and they may have spanked you. Yes. You had to be there on time and come out of there on time. Then you were in the bonds and in the chains of the creche. There too you couldn't have your own way. You couldn't have your own way going on. Then you left the creche, you were admitted into a school. In the school also, you couldn't have your own way. Again, now, you have to be punctual about the timings, you're getting in, coming out. You couldn't do your own thing, learning for your exam, studying, writing an examination, coming out, showing your results to your parents, getting spanked, getting shouted, whatever else. Then too, you were within some framework of some bond and some chain. Then, you grew up and you were in college and university. There too again, you were in some chain, some bond. You were imprisoned again from birth, from the time you were conceived, till now you're in university, again in chains, again in some type of imprisonment. Then now presently as you stand, now you are in the imprisonment of Char Abruka Safaya. So from your birth till now, you cannot say that you are totally free, do as you want. You cannot say. Yes, I am in imprisonment and you are in imprisonment. I am in chains and you are in chains as well. So both of us are in chains. I am also in chains and you are also in chains. I am in imprisonment and you are also in imprisonment. But there is a difference between my imprisonment and your imprisonment. Right? My imprisonment has got the divine stamp. It's got the divine seal. It's endorsed. It's endorsed with what? With the divine seal. So it's got the divine seal, then it will carry me anywhere and everywhere. Jannat, everything, it will carry me. It's got the divine seal. It's got that passport with that visa. And it's endorsed. When it's endorsed, then it's going to take me wherever I want. I want to go Jannat. I want to go wherever, it will take me. Because it's got the endorsement of the Sharia. And when I've got the endorsement of the Sharia, then it will take me through very well and comfortably in all phases, in this life, in the Qabr, in the Akhirah. It's got the divine endorsement. And yours is not divine. It's not divine. It is, what do you say, something made up. Kya kehte isko? Counterfeit. It's counterfeit. Yours is counterfeit. So, you go to any point, any station, the police will get you straight away. They will put you into chains. They will hit you there. Because you got counterfeit. You got a passport. You're showing a counterfeit passport. You come at the counter, they will see the computer, whatever, your name is appearing or not. Is this a genuine passport? Is it a counterfeit? When they realize it's a counterfeit, you're in problems. You're in serious problems. Me, I'm going, and every step I'm going, and there is an opening for me. Maybe sometimes I'm questioned, interrogated, whatever else. Maybe I go through some difficulty. But I have got the passport. I have got the passport. It will take me right through. The Qabr, it will take me, because I've got the endorsement of the Sharia. It's endorsed. That seal that was on me was the seal of the Sharia. My eyes were in conformity with the Sharia. The tongue was in conformity with the Sharia. The ears was in conformity. It was chained. It was imprisoned by the Sharia, by the stamp and the endorsement of the Sharia. It's endorsed. And yours is a counterfeit. When it's a counterfeit, then it doesn't work anywhere. They're just going to check it under the scan. And they're going to make out straight away that this is a counterfeit. This is made up. When they're going to see it's going to be made up, it's made up, then you had it. At any point that you're going, you're going to present this counterfeit stamp of yours, counterfeit pass of yours, and they're going to catch you straight away. They're going to imprison you. At every point, they're going to punish you. You're going to be in difficulty. You're going to be in perpetual punishment. So that's the difference between my endorsement and your endorsement. Your endorsement now is just flowing. It's just flowing. People don't know it. They don't have the eyes. They don't have the scan to scan you. But the moment you die and you move out of the parameters of this realm, they're going to scan you straight away. They're going to make it out. Yeah, you're walking around with a passport, fake passport. People don't know. They can't see. Everybody doesn't have the scanning machine to scan it out. So you're moving quite comfortably now here. But then just come to one of the government offices. They will check it up. Under the computer, they're going to check it up. The moment they're going to check it up, you're in trouble. In big problems, you're going to be. And not small problems, not problems for a short while, perpetual problems. You're going to be in everlasting problems. So this is now the outcome of the Sharia imprisonment, and this is the outcome of your man-made imprisonment, the fake imprisonment. Both of us are in imprisonment. We aren't free. I'm not free, you're not free. I'm in imprisonment, you are in imprisonment. I'm in a jail, you are in a jail. I'm in a cell, you are in a cell. But do you see what is going to be the outcome of my imprisonment and what's going to be the result of your imprisonment? So rather of your own choice, accept, embrace, and fully receive the Shari imprisonment. Accept it, embrace it, and fully receive it. You receive it fully, even if you made a mistake here and there, and you made Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive you, because you accepted the Shari imprisonment. You accepted the Shari imprisonment, wherever you're going to go, it's going to take you, it's going to take you with comfort, with ease. You're not going to get scared at the office. You're presenting yourself before that officer, you're not going to get scared. And there, if you're going to present yourself before that officer in the Qabr with your false and your fake passport, you're going to get a shake. Your whole body is going to be shivering. Before they can finish interrogating you, you will be finished. So just allow that Shari endorsement to prevail over you, to overwhelm you. Let that stamp and that seal of the Sharia overwhelm you. And you see, there'll be comfort, there'll be ease, there'll be joy, there'll be cheer within you. Because you know that I'm on the path. You know, imagine two people are sitting on a train, right? And one passenger doesn't have a proper bona fide ticket. And he doesn't have a direction of where he's going, right? Another person has a ticket, and apart from having a ticket, he knows the direction. He knows where the train is moving. Both behavior will be the same. No, this person will be restless. That is why you'll find that those that are not willingly giving themselves to the Sharia, they are restless. They can't get their sleep. During the day they are uneasy. At night they are uneasy. And the person, the passenger that's on the train, he doesn't have a ticket. He doesn't know the direction. He's lost. He's lost. He doesn't know where they are going. He'll be in a perpetual state of misery. So the kafir, the unbeliever, the transgressor, he's lost the direction. He doesn't have the proper ticket. So he is in a perpetual state of misery, anxiety, worry, tension, stress. He doesn't know now what's going to happen to him. What's all the time stress, tension, problems, difficulty. So the simple solution was to embrace the Sharia, embrace the Sunnah from all ends, in every respect, in your personal self, then accept and embrace the Sharia. In your wealth, then accept the Sharia. In your children, accept the Sharia. In your socializing, accept the Sharia. Everything, embrace it. The more you will embrace it, the more you will receive it, the more you will accept it, and you'll find this ease. You're sleeping comfortably, you get up comfortably, you've got less also, you're comfortable, you've got more, you're comfortable. You've got name, you're comfortable. You don't have a name, you still feel comfortable. You are at home, you feel comfortable. You are abroad, you feel comfortable. Wherever you are in a state of relaxation. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.